So you may be wondering, why have we been studying this family of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham over the course of this summer? We've been studying it because of this very passage that we've just come to today. Because if you remember, clearly he says that he came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's important for us to remember how important the house of Israel, the Jews, saw themselves as God's people. Because God made those covenants with them. He made them with Abraham, made it with Isaac, made it with Jacob, and later on made it with David. That this is the chosen family. But it's also important for us to realize how unexpected it is to think about this family that is Israel. Because the lectionary is very kind to us. They have Joseph in the pit, and then they have Joseph forgiving his brothers. And they don't tell you what Joseph did to his brothers before he forgave them. They don't tell you the palace intrigue of how he keeps them in jail, them not knowing who he is. They don't tell you that maybe the story that Joseph isn't the shining prince that we would like him to be, that he was a human being. Maybe he still had a whole lot of malice towards these brothers who put him in a pit. So he made them suffer a little before he forgave them. It's important for us to remember, as followers of Jesus Christ, imperfect as we are, that the family of God is an imperfect family, as far back as when it was founded with Father Abraham. That this people that God loves, unexpectedly loves us just as we are, is as human as you and I. Because when Jesus comes upon this situation with the Canaanite woman, that sense of chosen family, chosen Israel, is questioned by the woman. So I want us to step back a little bit to the beginning of this chapter, or maybe even through chapter 14, because in chapter 14 is when he learned that John the Baptist had been beheaded, and then he fed the 5,000. Then he walked on the water, and then he healed more sick in Gethsemane, and then he comes across more scribes and Pharisees challenging him about the traditions of the faith, that it's important that people wash their hands, the cleanliness rules of the Israelites, which has led us to what this scripture this morning began with, when he talks to them about not what goes in, but what comes out of the mouth is what defiles. As he begins to challenge the laws that don't bring life, because we are so concerned that we follow the letter of the law that we don't understand that possibly what we're doing is harming one another. So Jesus challenges that, and then he leaves. And my guess is, in fact, my DS suggested this. He left to go to Tyre and Sidon because he was tired. He'd been arguing, he'd been fighting, he'd been doing miracles, he'd been doing everything he could to bring about God's kingdom, and he wanted to go someplace where he wasn't known. And in Tyre and Sidon, he wouldn't have been known because it was a Canaanite region. So he figured the crowds wouldn't follow him because they would be contaminated by this unclean community. So he goes there, and what happens? Immediately, a woman, a Canaanite woman, so this is not a Jew, this is a foreigner, this is a Gentile, is calling out to him. And what does she say to him? She calls him Lord. She says, Lord, Son of David. She knew who he was better than his disciples knew, better than the Pharisees he just left behind. This woman, not of the faith, knew who he was and urged him, saying, my daughter is tormented by a demon. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And he doesn't answer her. He doesn't answer her. And she's persistent. She has to be persistent because the next piece of scripture says, his disciples said, tell her to go away. She keeps bothering us. So my guess is he kept walking, not saying a word. You know those people who do that silent treatment and keep walking when you're trying to talk to them? Yeah, that's what he was doing. And she's kept going, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. And continually following and hollering so that the disciples said, Lord, you got to say something. You got to get this woman to be quiet and to leave us alone. So he does. He says, that very scripture I mentioned just a little while ago, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she still is persistent. She comes and she begs. She may have even gotten down on her knees at this point because she had his attention. He was paying attention to her now. And she says, Lord, help me. How many of us have said that to God? Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. I'm not sure you're even heard from God because you seem to be persistently asking for God's help. So he tells her this little tale of, it's not fair to take the children's food, the house of Israel, and give it to the dogs, those who are not of the house. So I thought about this. How many of you don't feed your dogs at the table? Who have dogs? You don't feed your dog at the table? Good job. Because I can't say I don't. And how many of you are messy eaters and you notice after you've eaten you don't have to clean up behind yourselves because your dog already got what you left behind? So when she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, she's talking about the reality that there's always, beyond abundance, there's always something left behind. There's something left to glean. And those who are in need get to glean it. Then Jesus answers her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Jesus has just granted, as he heals, as her daughter is instantly healed, he has granted someone outside the family of Israel, outside the chosen race, he has granted someone a healing. He has done this because of her persistence, because of her cry, because she's acknowledged, yes, we are not the chosen, but we live. Yes, we are not the blessed community, but we're a people. And it's important for us to remember, what did he just talk to the Pharisees about? What did he talk to them about? About what comes out of your mouth can be defiling. Did Jesus not hear in her words that possibly what might have come out of his mouth was defiling, that it was harming another human? There's all sorts of talk about what this means for Jesus, what this means for the woman, what this means for the ministry to the world. But it was an unexpected moment in his ministry, an unexpected meeting between him and someone not of his race. It was that unexpected experience that allows us to see that even in the midst of our lives, the unexpected can happen and God's grace can fall upon us and we can be healed. But if we want to learn anything from this particular passage, we need to learn from this woman. This woman who the culture of the Jew would say, did not deserve a healing of her daughter because she's not one of us. She was persistent. She knew who Jesus was. She knew what Jesus could do. She called him Son of David. Anybody can call you Lord because that's just a way of showing respect. But Son of David called him a particular Lord, called him the Lord in the line of David that was to be the Messiah. She knew who he was, and she was not part of the community. She knew who he was enough to continually persist. And if we don't think that God won't change God's mind and answer our prayers if we're not persistent, then why do we have faith that we have? God isn't imperfect if God changes God's mind. The perfect will of God can still be done in the midst of our cries. God, through Jesus Christ, brought healing to this woman's daughter because her faith was so persistent. She never gave up believing that God is God and God can heal who God wants to heal when God wants to heal them. And she knew that he was the one who could bring that healing. So what are we to do as followers of Jesus? Are we to make one prayer request and feel, well, God heard it, so I don't have to ask again? Or to persistently call for healing? Persistently ask for peace in the world. How can we change the world that we can't change? We can change it through prayer. If we are persistent in our prayers for peace in the world, for peace in our nation, for peace in our state, for peace in our community, for peace in our church, God will hear our prayers. And God will rise up amongst us the leaders that can bring forth the change that God wants to see brought forth. And they may be sitting in these pews right now. They may be 8. They may be 10. They may be 18. They may be 84. But God will use who God can use for the transformation of the world. God used Abraham's family. And if you haven't had good summer reading, read Genesis. It is great reading. God used that family. God can use our family. If God can use a Samaritan woman or a Canaanite woman, she's got a bunch of names. If God can use a Canaanite woman to remind us what faith is all about, that in the midst of the unexpected moments, God's going to show up in that unexpected time and bring about transformation, maybe just of our own lives. So if you hear an opportunity to ask God for a healing, you pray. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, because God will hear your prayer. And God's mind can be changed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.